ever going to happen for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible.
So this year for us, the focus is wholly Netball World Cup. We really want to make sure our Scots take to court. It's the best training environment, it's the best preparation platform for them.
It was a privilege and a real honour to line up alongside the Celtic Dragons and the Team Wales Welsh Netball International side, and I'll be looking forward to lining up alongside many of the same teammates again next season.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show with 5 for 10.
Hi, it's Andy. Welcome to this week's Netball Show with 5 for 10. We may be 1 year old, but you're the one with all the birthday presents this week. Another massive show as we hear from some of the England side taking part in the Melbourne Fast Five tournament.
I'm Sasha Shipway. There's more reaction from Benacos Mavericks players about their all-in-one special kit they wore for Fast Five last weekend. Plus, do you fancy playing alongside some Super League stars in La Manga?
We start this week with a special interview with Stacey Francis. And in a Netball Show with 5 for 10 exclusive, we've been looking back on this year's Fast Five tournament, her season at Fever, and an insight into her reasons for choosing not to represent England. Stacey, you've been back for Fast Five, so how did this year's event compare to last?
I think the event was actually a lot better this year. I think the Copper Box suits netball well, as much as I think it's great to have aspirations to sell out a venue like the O2, I don't think for the first year of the competition it was probably appropriate. So the Copper Box is very well attended for netball events, and I think it gives a bit more of a personal and intimate atmosphere as well. The crowd was fantastic, and I was obviously back playing with Team Bath as well, which I think made it a bit more special for me.
What's that like, getting back out on court with Team Bath?
It is awesome. I'm Team Bath through and through. I played for them for an awfully long time, and it's great to kind of go back and to just feel like I could slot straight back into that team environment, to work with Jeff Manor as coaches again, because I do think they're some of the best coaches that I've worked with, and then also some familiar faces that I played with when I was there, and then some new up-and-coming talent that's coming through as well.
We saw that wonderful post that you did on Instagram this week, and some of those names on that side, Pam, Billy Bowers, Jess, Tamsin, Jeeva, it was an exciting time then, and the thing is that you're all still involved with the game.
Yeah, it is. I think it's easy to forget the legacy that Team Bath created and the players that have come through that programme and really weren't household names at the time, worked very, very hard behind the scenes. And even before that Super League team came to creation, there was lots of years at Supercup where Team Bath were full of, you know, young, exciting, talented players filled with flair. And that was something that I definitely aspired to be a part of. And then Super League obviously came round, and the success that everybody knows Team Bath for was when they started to really make a name for themselves. But the team and the environment was always a fantastic place to be, and yeah, the names are players that people will always remember and always reflect upon. And I think it's credit to, you know, the likes of Lynn Gunson and the people that really put that first Team Bath programme together. And yeah, it's an exciting time, and I think the contribution that Team Bath players will continue to make to the world of netball as a whole isn't going to stop anytime soon.
Reflecting on those 2 years playing abroad and then coming back for the Fast Five, have you seen it grow?
I do think the league is growing. It's exciting that I think that there is a base amount of money that players are beginning to get now from teams. I've never been paid to play Super League, and we always behaved like professionals, but we weren't necessarily supported financially in that same way. So I think it's exciting that players can start to a little bit of money off of what used to be pretty much a full-time hobby. It takes up a lot of your time and a lot of dedication to be the best that you can be, and it's nice for the girls to be rewarded in that respect. And another really exciting thing that's happening with netball in England is the Players Association. I don't think anybody should take for granted the importance of having the Players Association, of the players being able to have collective voice and to continue to push the sport forward, and also the amount of work that's gone in behind the scenes. It's been a long time coming, and it's been something that players have spoken about for years and years, and with people who are putting their own time and their support and finances into the Players Association for the benefit of others, I think it's a fantastic thing to see.
Fair to say the loss of Jets was huge, and then we lost Team North the season later, so people like the Shores and Lucy Harris had to go elsewhere, which is a shame to say the least.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was only at the Yorkshire Jets for a year, but I had every intention of of staying there and hopefully trying to build something and to progress things forward. But the league made the decision to abolish the Yorkshire Jets, and then now Team Northumbria has gone, and I think it's a huge loss for the existing players, but also for future players within that region. Although I wasn't from Bath, I am a proud Brummie. I was picked up by the Bath programme from the age of 14, and I aspire to be a part of that environment, and I think that's something that players should do. You should have a route and a pathway into a Super League team based in your region. And as much as the game is continuing to push forward in a commercial manner, the grassroots is where all of the, you know, all of the benefit comes further down the line.
How did your association with Fibre 10 start?
Well, my best friend is actually a managing director of Fibre 10, Stephanie Essex. We've been friends since England under 17s. We both went to Bath University together, and then she was doing a civil and architectural engineering degree, which is incredibly intense, and really randomly she kind of took a step away and went and did some work experience with the former Sevens team and the Diamond Sports Events Group, and things kind of progressed really quickly from there because she's a fantastically creative mind and a very hard worker. And, you know, eventually with, you know, the help of other people, Fibre 10 was born, and it was definitely something that I jumped at as a chance to be involved in and to champion a British-based sports company.
What's it like having their support behind you as well?
Yeah, the support is fantastic. I think they champion lots of the English netballers, and I think it is great to kind of be seen to be supporting a British company as well. And the support that I receive from them is, yeah, it's fantastic, and similarly from the rest of the netball community as well.
You've had a pretty decent season at Fever. You been happy with how things have gone now?
Happy, but still dissatisfied. It was a fairy tale of a year. We finished second last two seasons ago, and then this season we hosted the grand final and fell short by a few goals to Lightning. But yeah, to be honest, I think my overwhelming feeling about it is still disappointment, but I am kind of starting to be able to reflect on what we achieved. We obviously recruited fantastically in signing Jamil Fowler in the off-season, and we aren't stupid. We know that she makes a huge difference to a team, but one player doesn't win a netball game, and we put in a hell of a lot of work in the off-season. We had a full coaching lineup and a fantastic game plan that kind of really stood us in good stead, but it was really disappointing to fall at the final hurdle. But what we achieved, I think, in that short space of time was phenomenal, and I know that it just makes the girls hungry to come back and to create that level of consistency now and really start to meet expectations and continue to drive netball in WA forward and have the other teams show the level of respect that we received this year and know that we hopefully will continue to be a force to be reckoned with.
Charlotte, who does the Scribbles, has said you had so much energy and had non-stop fierceness throughout the season. Are you happy with those kind of comments?
Yeah, definitely. I think there were probably some much more nasty things said about me, so if those are the overriding comments, then I would take them. I think what was really refreshing is that I was able to go to West Coast Fever and to take my style and brand of netball whilst also slotting in with the Fever way of play. And I think the things that I kind of was known for here in terms of my athleticism and my passion and my kind of never say die attitude is something that still was an attribute to me in Suncorp, and I think that's really good. The problem has always been in the past is that Australian netball in general, internationally, domestic-wise, was just far superior to anything that we were putting out in England. So I think there was always a worry that you wouldn't necessarily match up, but that isn't the case anymore. I've certainly learned a lot from being over playing in Suncorp, but I also feel like I've been able to bring a lot to that environment too because of the environment that I've been involved in England. And yeah, definitely a lot of that was from my netball upbringing in Team Bath.
Leila and Nat are obviously joining next season, so how much do you enjoy that first season over there in Australia?
I think everybody's experience is really different, which I think is kind of the refreshing thing to learn. I've caught up with a lot of the girls in the off-season. I'm really good friends with Joe and Serena. I'm really good friends with Helen. And everybody's franchise is run in a completely different way. I think it's really weird because I think I put an awful lot of pressure on myself in the first season. But then that didn't change at all. And it just became more and more pressure in the second season.
Yeah.
So I think if they were to ever ask for any advice, it would be just to take everything in your stride, just enjoy it and just be confident in your own skills and abilities.
Serena's coming back to Bath. Might this be something you're thinking about somewhere down the line?
I did hesitate around re-signing with West Coast Fever, I just wasn't sure whether it was time for me to step away, and similarly to Serena, to focus on my off-court petite endeavours and just make the most of what I want away from the court. But the opportunity to play there is phenomenal. I feel like we were underdone this year and that we have a little bit more to do, and I'm not so sure that I'll want to play netball after that, but never say never. I feel probably a lot younger than my age suggests, and I definitely feel like I have a lot more to learn, and I think if your attitude is that, then you can continue to play. So we'll see how it goes.
I think the first thing that stands out for me about wearing Viper 10 kit is just the feel of it. It's so comfortable. Since the brand's come around, I think I've still got the same hoodie from about 5 years ago, and it fits so well. The colour remains, and I think that's one of the most important things, particularly with sportswear brands nowadays. You're wearing them day in, day out. People love living in their active wear, and the fact that this active wear looks good, it feels good, it's just great to wear.
How do you think the standard of the roses are at the minute?
They're obviously in fantastic form, and it's continued to improve. I think that ability to win and to contest at the top level has been coming for a while. As much as the team were able to win a gold medal at this Commonwealth Games, the team that went to the Commonwealth Games 4 years ago were also able to win a gold medal similarly at the World Cup. So it's just rewards for the hard work that has gone on behind the scenes way back from even before 2014 to create the team that you see today. And I think it was a shock for lots of the external world for England to take that gold medal from Australia on Australian soil. I was watching with a room full of Australians, and it was a surreal experience, but I think it's exciting for netball. And as much as I think Lisa Alexander and the Diamonds would love for everything to continue to be really one-sided and in their favour, it's boring, and I think the quality of netball across the world is improving in general, so not just England, but obviously Jamaica too. They just took England in a series 3-0. South Africa are in phenomenal form and just seem to quite have not tipped over into that like consistency and that level of success that I think you potentially expect to come from them quite soon. So England are, they're on a mission, and I think they will definitely be wanting to back up the gold medal from the Commonwealth Games and a home World Cup next year.
A lot of us would feel that you made a contribution towards that building as well. Would it be something you'd agree with?
I don't know. I think the team that are at a tournament are the team that win a gold medal. I am not a part of the England team, and that is my choice. And I think when I made that decision, for lots of reasons, which I'm probably not in a position to share at the moment, I was aware that I could be possibly missing out on the opportunity to win a gold medal, because that was a team that was more than capable. And it's a decision that I'm really happy with. I am fortunate that I'm able to continue to play netball and feel like I'm a valued member of a team where I can contribute and be myself and constantly learn and get on court and be uplifted. And I would never kind of want to take anything away from the group that went to the Commonwealth Games and that won a gold medal. But I will continue to be a huge fan of the individual players in the team, and hope that they can strive to make more success and more history and create a legacy for the netball.
So basically then, your team for 2019, is it Bath all the way?
I think in my blood runs blue and gold, so I would definitely hope that Bath are able to kind of re-sign that level of success. I think they've been so close in recent years, and they have a phenomenal team, and I know for a fact that the environment there is one that's striving to make finals and to make success. But I also feel the same way actually about Mavericks. I think they have been a good team for a long time, and they've probably been a little bit underdone and not reached the places that they should have reached. So I will definitely pick Mavericks too. And then obviously, I guess I could never say Leicester Lightning, but I individually support the coach to have a good year.
Well, we'll be looking out for Bath Mavericks and Lightning next season then. What a fantastic interview. Thanks to Stacey for chatting to us and providing some insight into your reason not to play for England. We still want you back in the red dress, but hopefully we'll be seeing you playing for Bath again soon. Next up, we'll be talking about the Sunday Times Sportswoman of the Year Awards. A few weeks ago, we heard from Alex Pask from the Mintridge Foundation, who's been nominated in the grassroots category. She told us what it was like when she found out about the nomination.
It was quite funny, actually. So I was away in London and the Sunday Times rang the office. So my colleague picked up and we had no idea that it was coming at all. So she picked up, had the phone call, and she was told. And then she was toying with my emotions while I was away in London. She was texting me saying, I've got a surprise for you, but I couldn't call her because I was just about to go into a meeting. So then throughout the whole of this meeting, I was like, what is she talking about? And then managed to get hold of her, and then she told me the news, which is amazing. And we found out that our nutrition partner, Nibble Protein, had put me forward and that I'd made the shortlist. So it was incredible.
How did you feel when you found out it was them?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. We've only just started our relationship with Nibble, and they have very, very similar values to us. So the fact that we recognise all of her hard work and we admire everything that she's doing, for her to then admire what we're doing, it's really refreshing and amazing to see, really. So we're very, very grateful to Erin and the Nibble team.
You can still tell, but there's still that excitement and I can't actually quite believe it in your voice, which is...
yes, it is. It's amazing to be on a shortlist with three other incredible women and on the same awards that Jessica Ennis-Hill and Helen Glover are judges. I have to keep pinching myself and I have to stop speaking to my grandmother because she brings out even more excitement in me, and I have to just remember to stay calm.
We've seen the grassroots awards, obviously, it's for individuals who's actively engaged with different groups of people within their community through sport, and that's always been a basis for Mintridge, hasn't it?
Yes, exactly. Grassroots is where everyone starts their sporting journey or their activity journey. So the fact that we've been recognised for that is amazing, because we have such a diversity of sports. We've got over 21 sports now with 30 ambassadors. So when we're recognised on this big stage, it's amazing.
We heard about it earlier, but that charity status as well, how have things been going with that?
Oh, wow. So why didn't we think of doing it sooner in terms of the Charity Commission? So we got the charitable status in April. And it has just turned things around for us. We've got some great corporate sponsors now, including Squad Kit, our kit suppliers. We're eligible for grants and trust funding, and therefore we've been putting applications in and we're seeing rewards. So slowly but surely, we're going to be able to reduce the cost for schools and clubs, be able to access our services on a greater level. So why didn't we do it sooner? I don't know.
I've been to sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk, and you even look at some of the names that are up for the main title: Katie Archibald, Rachel Atherton, Dina Asher-Smith, Georgia Hall, Vicky Holland, Lizzie Arnold. You'll be looking forward to meeting them, hopefully, and signing them up as well.
Yes, exactly. That's I think going to be the most amazing part, just being in a room with such high profile sportswomen, both past and present, people that I look up to and have done so, whether that's Jessica Ennis on the judging panel or, like you say, Dina Asher-Smith, who is just setting the athletics world on fire at the moment. So hopefully we'll be able to share a little bit more about Mintridge, generate greater profile, and it would be great to get some more athletes on board.
And people who've been there with you from the start, like Georgia and Pamela, have already sent in their congratulations. Ebony as well. So
yes. And netball is so core to what we do. It's one of our most popular sports. I think particularly on the back of the success at the Commonwealth Games this summer. We have a really strong relationship with our three amazing ambassadors. And I think particularly with Ebony being involved in the filming for the Sunday Times Award, it's going to help massively. And we're also rooting for Ebony and the Roses to get Team of the Year.
So there's plenty of time to get the votes in. Give me details on that. When do they close?
Yes, so voting's now open until the 29th of October. It closes at noon that day, and then we find out at the awards ceremony on the 1st of November. So everything crossed at the moment, but we'd love to generate more support as well if anyone would like to vote for us.
Sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk is where you can go and vote, and it'll be all over your Twitter and the foundation's Twitter, where you can watch a nice little video of the kind
yes,
of work
it
you
is. Did. All the information is on the Sportswoman of the Year website, as you say, and then all over our social media are the videos and the news articles about the award and why I've been shortlisted.
Best of luck to Alex with the awards. To vote for Alex and, of course, England Netball, who are nominated for Team of the Year, go to sportswomenoftheyear.co.uk/awards. England may have just finished their Jamaica Test Series, but there's still some exciting international netball to look forward to, as England are in Melbourne to take part of the International Fast Five tournament. George Fisher told us how she's feeling ahead of it.
I'm really looking forward to it. Like, watching Fast Five the last few years has looked like so much fun. Obviously, England won it last year. It looks so enjoyable. All the girls had such a blast, and I'm really, really excited to be a part of that this time. Like, it's going to be great, really.
And George recently got her first senior cap against Jamaica and is keen to build on it.
I am looking forward. It's going to be a really big learning curve for me. Some great experience, obviously, getting that sort of different style in playing. I'm really, really excited. I'm really grateful for the opportunity.
Well, Jodie Gibson explains how much she enjoys the format and is looking forward to the newer players having their opportunity on court.
What I absolutely love about the Fast Five competition is just so much fun. There's so many fun aspects to the game, the long shots, the power plays, and it's just an amazing weekend of netball. It'd be incredible to come home with a gold medal like the girls did last year from the Fast Five competition. But I think what's really important is we've got a brand new face in the team. So it's a great opportunity now for girls like Amy Carter, George Fisher, Ella Clark to be exposed internationally and just get a good run out against these top teams. And I'm so excited just to get over to Melbourne, have some fun, because I really do believe the key to success is having fun, and I think hard work, and if we have fun, we can definitely come home with gold medal. So yeah, bring it on. Really excited.
And she was pleased to see Thunder's Emma Dovey named in the squad.
I was so happy to see Emma Dovey as well, including the Fast Five team. Emma's been around for many, many years. I think Emma got her first England cap, senior cap, in like 2012. So she's had the experience at this level internationally. So for Emma to be in the team for Fast Five, she brings a wealth of experience and she's a great defender. So I'm really happy to see her in the team.
Leila Guscoth recognises how the standards within the top nations are improving all the time.
The great thing about netball at the moment is all of the top kind of five nations are really close and are just beating each other all of the time. So it's becoming a great spectacle for everyone to see, and it should be really exciting.
As we know, Wasps won our Fast Five All-Stars tournament last weekend, and Mel Mansfield led Wasps to that title. So she explains what the win means to her.
Well, what a weekend that was. Absolutely fantastic event, the Fast Five at the weekend. Brilliant by Matchroom. Really great fun. There was such a lovely atmosphere in the Copper Box. Packed crowd. Loads of spectators, lots of fun amongst the players of all the teams and the coaches, and great to see some All-Stars there. Delighted for my girls, obviously. They trained so hard. We got back into training early after quite a short off-season, having finished so late this year in July. So really limited time off, and then they really embraced the Fast Five tactics this year. So pleased to see our newbies all get some great court time. And Rachel Dunn, what a star. She was absolutely unreal. And we thank her arm too. She was incredible.
Benicos Mavericks' Karen Bailey enjoyed her share of 10-pointers throughout the day. I spoke to her earlier this week to see what she thought of this year's event.
I loved it. It was absolutely so incredible, and it was fun out there, and I think it's very different Fast Five. As a shooter, obviously it's definitely an attacker's game, I think it's safe to say, and I feel like being a shooter, you actually don't feel as much pressure. You know, you're going for those 5-point shots or those 10-point shots, and if you hit them, it's amazing, and if you don't hit them, then kind of like expected, or I guess people just go, oh, you know, so close, but it's not expected that you should hit them. It was great. It was lots of fun. It was good just to get out there with all the new girls as well.
I said on last week's podcast that Mavs kind of grew throughout the afternoon. Would that be something you'd agree with?
Yeah, absolutely. We've only kind of had a couple of weeks with, I guess, the new team or the team for Fast Five, and it's very much trying to work out what each girl plays like and where they position themselves on court and stuff like that. And because Fast Five is a very different game and a very different way of thinking out there, I guess we kind of got on court, and to our credit, I thought we actually played really well the first game. Just Wasps were a lot stronger. And throughout the afternoon, we pretty much worked out exactly what girls liked, where they could position the ball across the court. And we also enjoyed it. I think that's one of the biggest things. We went out there and we had fun. We didn't take it too seriously, but at the end of the day, we're pretty pumped that we got all the way through to the final.
And that whole atmosphere of fans cheering for anyone scoring 10-pointers. And needless to say, you got your fair share of them as well.
Yeah, the fans are incredible. They were so loud, and it is a natural high, you know, when you hit that 10-pointer in the power play and you hear all the fans and you look around and they're all off their seats clapping. It's pretty hard not to feel like a superstar out on court. So I think they were great. And it was great that we got such a huge crowd there as well. It really does show the support for the game.
That all-in-one got some harsh comments, man. What did you think make of that?
Yeah, look, do you know what? I think it actually served its purpose. Mizuno set out to create something that was performance-based for us, and the girls really did adopt the idea. And Fast Five is about being a fun and edgy and fierce weekend where anything goes, and it's something that we obviously can't wear in the normal regular competition of netball because they do have rules around what the uniform should be. But we thought, well, why don't we have an outfit that ticks all the performance boxes and obviously does everything that it should be doing, but also creates a lot of energy and talk around it, both negative and positive.
Yeah.
And it did exactly that. And we were having talks, obviously, in the UK, but also outside of the UK. There were so many messages and phone calls that I was getting from Australia about comments about the outfit. And I think that really did spark talk. And anything that's going to spark conversations in netball and the sport as a whole, I think, is a really big positive. And I actually enjoyed wearing the suit as a shooter. Having an outfit where I'm not constantly pulling down my shorts or, you know, pulling it down or adjusting every time I've taken a shot is fantastic. So, yes, a lot of people didn't like visually how it looked, and that's completely fine. That's their opinion. But in regards to how it felt on court, I thought it was absolutely comfortable. So I think Mizuno did a really good job at creating awareness and creating conversations around all of that sort of stuff.
If you were back home, do you think the reaction would have been similar?
Yeah, I think so. Based on a lot of the conversations that I had, the reaction is quite similar. I think one of the big things for me was obviously there was a lot of criticism, and people kind of took to the point of view of them actually wearing the outfit, not necessarily their own individual viewpoint. So instead of commenting about the outfit, they started commenting about how girls particularly look in outfits or nitpicking certain girls and stuff. And obviously, I was victim to a few of those comments. And I think that's where it kind of sometimes gets a little bit messy, because we look aside of what the outfit delivered. And it was designed purely from a performance point of view and how it can help every single girl on court, whether it's recovering or sweating or constantly fiddling with their outfit. And it was within mind, knowing full well that Fast Five was a one-day thing,
yeah,
that I feel like people couldn't look past the actual visual effect of it. So that was probably the most disappointing part for me with the outfit. But that all aside, I absolutely loved wearing the outfit. I thought it was super comfortable. I love the fact, because I'm a huge sweater. I know it's not the most attractive thing, but I sweat a lot, and by the end of the day, I still felt so comfortable in it. So, yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Runner-up Lindsay Keeble shared her thoughts on Fast Five with Camilla Buchanan.
I think we've had a great day today at Fast Five. We've smashed it by getting to the finals. It's gutting that we couldn't win, but I think this is a good reflection of what's to come and how Mavericks have developed massively over the past year, 18 months. I think we've got a great team. It's been so fun, and the girls have been amazing, and I just think all our new additions have just been such an asset to the team. I can't wait for the England girls to come back and, you know, bring on 2019. So we need to take it home.
So, some controversial kit that we wore today. How do you think it helped the performance? What would you say? In terms of its contribution to today's silver medal.
So I think the suits were a good addition. I think the hype and the conversations that we're having were just epic. I think we really stuck together as a team, so that was a real bonding experience. I think even though it felt slightly uncomfortable, really got pulled through the team. We had excellent motivation and encouragement from everybody. And I think, you know what? We didn't make anyone else wear it. We wore it, and I think it made a statement, and I think it made people look up to us as like role models and mavericks, and we lived up to our name, so I think it was great.
And if I just do this, we should be able to hear from Kat Ratnapala, who's live via satellite. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Andy. It's Kat Ratnapala here from Benicos Mavericks, and I'm joined with Ingham Rose and Benicos Mavericks centre court, Gabs Marshall. Gabs, what are your thoughts on Fast Five?
I think it was a really successful day for us, although we just fell a little bit short in the final. I think all the girls that took to court really put out great performances, and it was just really good fun. I think we have quite a new squad again this year, and it was just a great opportunity for us to get to know each other and, yeah, just have some laughs on and off the court.
And Mizuno created the new performance suits for us. What were your thoughts on that, and how did they feel?
They felt great. I think initially, I'm not going to lie, there were a few raised eyebrows from the girls and myself when we learnt about what we were going to be wearing at Fast Five. But we actually got to wear the suits in a training session on the Tuesday night prior to the competition. And that's when we quickly learnt how much thought had gone into the suit by Mizuno, because we are athletes, and at the end of the day they created this garment for us to wear to be the best performing athletes that we could be. They were really comfortable, although it was very different. I think that's the great thing about Fast Five, is it's a different format of the game, and it allowed us to just embrace the difference of the competition by wearing the suit.
And I think you definitely won the entrance of the tournament.
Yeah, I think we all just wanted to have a little bit of a laugh with it. I think when we unveiled the suit the night before on Twitter, there were a lot of controversial comments, and that's okay. Like, everybody's welcome to their opinion at the end of the day. Some of the comments were a little bit too personal, I'd say, but yeah, we just wanted to have a laugh with it. We understood that there was some similarities to other sports, like the likes of the triathlon, weightlifting, all the different comments that we got on social media. We just thought, you know what, we're going to have a laugh. We're having fun, we're enjoying the suits, and that's what Fast Five is all about.
Storm had a lot of other players who gave a strong performance on court, including Rhea Dixon, who shared her thoughts on the day itself, as well as the past week.
We've had a really strong couple of weeks at training, even before the South Africans and Shani arrived. So to add them into the mix as well during training was just a real confidence boost.
Tell us about how Mickey told us that Shani was joining you. Did you all quite believe it?
Well, I mean, absolutely not. I said to everyone, I'm not going to believe it until I actually step on court in the same dress as her. Like, it was just an absolute dream come true.
And how was that training with her? Like, a completely different level.
Yeah, I mean, she just... A lot of people have asked if I felt intimidated at all, but it's just complete opposite. Like, she used that energy and that sort of her strength to, like, completely, it felt like 100% support from her. So whenever I was putting up a shot, I knew she wasn't thinking, oh no, or like, oh no, I have to work and get it back. She just would say, put it up every time, and we've got you if it comes back down our end.
Did she have a lot of individual time for each one of you as well?
Yeah, I mean, completely. She's just such an awesome person. Like, putting netball aside, she just made sure that she sort of got involved and sort of made sure that we're all on like a level playing field. So definitely put in time for each of us throughout this week.
After the break, we'll be hearing from Surrey Storm's Katie Holland and Lewis Keeling from Knights Men's Netball.
Hi there, Kat Ratnapala here from Benicos Mavericks. Wanted to let you know about a one-day masterclass for club coaches and PE teachers on Thursday the 1st of November from 9:15 to 3:30 at Stephen Peirce Foundation School in Cambridge. There's going to be four masterclasses running, two with Anna Stembridge, head coach of Team Bath on attack, and two with myself, Kat Ratnapala, Benicos Mavericks, on defence. So it'd be great to see all of you there. For more information, please visit our website, www.mavericksnetball.co.uk.
Had the opportunity to jump on board with Viper 10, and it really drew to me, it being born here in Bournemouth, and that's where my dad's from. And you know what, the people are pretty cool, so I get along with them really well, so it was an easy fit. Saw the kits, and from the get-go, I absolutely loved them. They were fun, a little bit flirty, and just different. So yeah, it was cool, and they're really comfortable.
You're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10. First up, we're going to be chatting about the Ultimate Netball Tour, which has been running for 5 years. The La Manga Netball Tour gives individuals and teams the chance to play with Super League players in their side, all in the sunshine. Storm's Katie Holland is a regular at the event, and she's been telling us more about it.
I'm really looking forward to being part of it, heading out to La Manga again this year. Obviously, last year we were unable to go because the Storm season ran on a little bit longer, so Stars went last year in our place. But we are back this year.
And from a personal level, what do you get out of it? It's obviously the game you love and playing it carefree in the sun, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes as a sort of well-deserved fun end to what can be a demanding season, I guess. And it's a great opportunity for us to give something back to the fans that have supported the Super League all season. We can play against them, play with them as well. I think there are something like 43 teams already signed up this year, so it should be really good. We have loads of things to do as well. On the Friday, we play a show match against any of the teams that are entered that they can come and play against us. They then continue to play all afternoon to determine whether they're in the plate or the cup competition. And on the Saturday, we get signed up to one of the teams that are in the cup, and we play with them all day, so it's really great to meet loads of the netballers through that.
I suppose the thing is, well, it's almost like you playing with Shani at the weekend. You don't know which Super League player you're going to end up with in your squad.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hopefully they think it's a good idea, sort of us going into their squads. And like you said, we just bring a different aspect to their game. But we're there to support them in whichever way we can. In previous years, we've played with them or we've coached for them. Depending on what the teams need, obviously they bring a squad out. We don't always want to take the place of somebody else, so we're there to help them with whatever they want us to do, really.
Some of the names that are already signed up are you, Mickey, Tamsin, Josie, Hannah, Rach, Kat. That's a certain Super League winning back-to-back title side
there. Yeah, return of the storm, isn't it? the first year that we went out to La Manga, it was actually just attended by Storm. And then over the seasons, it's kind of developed. So now we've got Storm, Wasps, and as I said, there were Stars players that went out last year. And this year, I know for a fact that, as you've mentioned, there are some Wasps girls, there are some Storm girls, and there are some Stars girls going out as well.
How much is it taken seriously, or is it purely a fun tournament?
A bit of a mixture of both, really. It depends how the teams are composed. So there are some teams out there that are club players that play together week in, week out. Other teams are like a reunion, teams coming back together. And there are some back-to-netball teams that go out as well. Everyone out there is keen to play and to play well and to enjoy all of the games. Some teams take it more seriously than others. But as I said, it's great for us to get to know all the different teams, however seriously they're taking the competition.
It's the fifth year of the Ultimate Tour. And for that pool party, they managed to get Judge Jules.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the atmosphere and the social element to the tour is absolutely amazing. In my experience, all the Super League players have got on sort of really well with all of the different people, and there's loads of events which allow us to socialise with all the different netball teams and actually the different sports competitors that are out there as well, because there's obviously the football and the rugby that are out there as well. As I said, there's events that go on at different times. So on the Thursday, there's the pool party, which, as you mentioned, we'll have Judge Jules headlining at that one. The Friday, obviously, you've got the games during the day, and then the evening is more of a free night. Mm. So teams can relax or they can enjoy the resort. And then the Saturday is playing all day, and then there's the presentation awards dinner. So for the netball, that'll be hosted by Tamsin. And it's really just like a celebration of the whole weekend and the winners and lots of different awards go on at that evening.
How have you got on in it in the past? Have you managed to win any stuff?
It's hard to remember. I don't think I got too far with my team. The last time I went, so not last year but the year before, I think I got to the final with my team, but my team got picked to the post by Hannah's team. So Hannah Reid was in the winning team actually that year.
No change there, eh?
Yeah.
UltimateTour.co.uk online is where you can find tickets. Much more information, but as usual with that lineup, things are always going to be close to selling out. It's going to be taking place between the 13th and 16th of June, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd 100% recommend it. If you're sort of there and your netball team sort of wants to go out and participate, as I said, 43 teams signed up already. I think that's 7 spots left. So if you think it might sound like something for you, definitely sign up as soon as possible.
Last weekend, Knights men's netball took to the court at the Copper Box to showcase the men's game. They've had a busy week since with more invitations from franchises. And Lewis Keeling has been telling us what kind of a week they've had since their appearance.
What a day. What an amazing day. We turned up and started seeing people arrive and more people arrive, and it started getting more and more real. And yeah, it was just, before we'd even got in there, the anticipation had started building. But as soon as we walked through those doors, saw the crowds and saw the kind of the quality of the setup of the stadium, massive adrenaline rush.
You saw a few of the first rounds as well, and from that, were you able to get a feel of the whole atmosphere there and to some extent see what the court would be like when you played on it?
Absolutely. There was a couple of early games that were actually really close, and there was a few 10-pointers that's completely changed the scoreline round. I think there was one from an early game that Storm were playing in. I think it was against Loughborough, where they came back to win, and the atmosphere was incredible. And I think there was one shot hit where it nearly took the roof off in terms of the noise produced by the crowd. And we'd kind of just be expected to be sitting somewhere in the crowd in a little area, but Matchroom had set us up with, and they did a fantastic job, by the way, they set us up with courtside seats right along the baseline, right next to the hoop. And it was a bit of a dream come true, to be honest.
Obviously, ahead of the game as well, did you have an idea of how you'd line up the teams?
Yeah, so we'd kind of tried to agree the kind of the fairest, because basically we've got 2 founders for Knights, so it's myself and Chris Green, and we tried to agree the fairest teams between us to kind of split our first squad in half, and we had a couple of representatives of our second squad there as well who were coming off the bench, so we got to a relatively good a good split, and we were happy with how it turned out. In that respect, yeah, I think everybody was happy with the teams they were in, and maybe not totally how they played, but we've got some very competitive people in our team, and they always want to do better.
Everybody managed to get on as well?
Yes, yeah, we made sure, because we you know, it was only 12 minutes. We were very aware that, you know, that 12 minutes can go very fast and people can get carried away. So we had set changes that we knew would be made if changes hadn't been made already. So we planned it out to make sure that everybody got on, because we're that kind of team, really. We don't want to leave anybody kind of in the dark, despite whatever's on the scoreboard. So,
and what about that layup that I've seen? It's already on about 600 views. So tell me a bit about that move.
Oh, much love, GA. Drove into the circle, got delivered a speedy pass from our centre, and got kind of a little bit of a bump from our GD, was flying off court, completely opposite way to the hoop, and pinged it over his up and over his head, and it dropped in. I think it's one of those almost NBA highlights reels kind of moves, but yeah, absolutely fantastic to see, and so many people loving it online.
And I had noticed, but you managed to score a 10-pointer. What was that like?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I had been actually dreaming about that moment for about a month beforehand, since we knew we were getting our booking. One of the guys on the sideline, we were just in the game, I was communicating with the sideline to tell them when to push the buzzer, and we'd missed a few, and we were saying maybe third play we'll do it, we'll take it early. But I called him off and said, like, we're on the fifth drive. And as that came down, I hit the edge of the circle, and I heard this buzzer go, and I thought, right, I've got to make this one. And it just fell in, and the crowd just went crazy, and it was special, probably one of the best sporting moments of my life. So yeah, pretty amazing. And throughout all of the broadcast, you saw the Knights logos quite a lot all over the place. So I mean, again, thanks to Sky and Matchroom for just putting on an amazing event and having us so kind of close to it. Really, it's just a dream come true for us. we couldn't have asked for better exposure. And also, I think one of the things that we really should thank people for is the kind of reception when we came off court. Because, you know, the Super League teams had come off and they'd absolutely smashed it, and they got a fantastic reception from the crowd. And it was just nice that the crowd was exactly the same for us. And it felt like acceptance for this version of the sport, and it felt like people were interested in it and wanted to see it being driven forward. So, yeah, it was really nice.
What about feedback since?
Yeah, it's been amazing. So that we've got so many different invites to different events, and not all the way from kind of grassroots level of going into schools and helping out with, you know, hopefully inspiring boys to get into netball at an early age, but also right the way through to getting more kind of Super League exposure. So we've got an exhibition game that's set up in November against Manchester Thunder, which has just been announced. We already had some games against Mavericks booked in as one of our early adopters, and thank you to them. We're talking to Team Bath, and we've got a game before Christmas against Wasp as well. So it's really taken off, and it's really been a fantastic exposure for us at that event.
And the best way, Lewis, to keep in touch with you in the meantime?
Yep, so on the Facebook group, it's Knights Men's Netball. On Twitter, it's Knights Men's Netball UK. On Instagram, it's hashtag Knights Men's Netball. Do get in touch.
That's it for this week's episode. Remember, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at The Netball Show, plus keep an eye out on thenetballshow.co.uk, where between episodes, we aim to bring you the latest news from around the country.
That's right, Sasha. We've been doing this officially now for a year, so thanks to the franchises and you, we really appreciate your support. Speak to you next episode. And a huge thanks to Viper 10 as well.
I didn't really think it was ever going to happen for us, and to do it in those circumstances, you know, win by one goal and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible.
So this year for us, the focus is wholly Netball World Cup. We really want to make sure our Scots take to court. It's the best training environment. It's the best preparation platform for them.
It was a privilege and a real honour to line up alongside the Celtic Dragons and the Team Wales Welsh Netball International side, and I'll be looking forward to lining up alongside many of the same teammates again next season.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show with Viper 10.